Thank you.
Yes, put your hands together for the light horse. Praise God. You can be seated. After all the years, that still moves me. That doesn't fire you up, your wood's wet. Praise God. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we're excited about what you're doing in our lives, our homes, our families. And Holy Spirit, you are. You're welcome here. Have your way. Touch our life as only you can really touch our lives. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's certainly not by our brilliant intellects. But it's by your Spirit, Lord. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Amen. Praise God. Well, we've just had recently Anzac Day. Amazing, you know. It really touches the heart of our nation. Possibly it's the most popular day in our nation. You can go anywhere you like across this country, from the littlest town, Elliot, and outback Northern Territory to Sydney, and I guarantee you somewhere there'll be an Anzac ceremony there somewhere. It touches our nation. It stops our nation. So, you know, sometimes I get people approach me and they say, well, glorifying war. No, it's not. The Bible says give honor where honor's due. Paul wrote that in Romans. Give honor. Can I have an aim? Can I tell you freedom is not free? It costs something for somebody. Can I have an amen or what? Amen. Let me read you a passage of scripture here from Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Not strong in yourself, but strong in that grace. And he goes on to say here, look in verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who what? Enlisted him as a soldier. You know, four words really sum up the Anzac spirit. Four words: courage, mateship, sacrifice, endurance. All of those are biblical principles. Jesus exhibited all of those on the cross. Can I have an amen or what? I believe anyway, we desperately need as a nation these values again. Values that are largely forgotten in a nation that's almost lost its way. Thank you for your enthusiasm on the point. But so it's talking about giving honor where honor's due. You know, so we it's not just glorifying war. Think about this. I mean, Scripture talks a lot about fight the good fight of faith. Is that right or not? Salute your brother. All of those biblical principles. Think about this. The only man that Jesus ever commended for his faith was a Roman army officer. A centurion. Possibly got Jewish blood on his hands. There's no love lost between the Jews and the Romans. But he says, comes to the Lord and he calls him Lord. He says, my servant's lying at home dreadfully tormented. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. He says, no, Lord, I'm not worthy. You come under my roof. Just say the word. My servant will be healed. And Jesus turns to his disciples that have been walking with him for years, and he says, I've not found faith anywhere in Israel like this. Now, if it's wrong to really stand up for your home, your values, Jesus should have ticked him up big time. He holds him up as an example. Is that right or not? So there's certain things, you know, the Bible talks about, I want to thank Pastor Rory for the privilege that it is just to be able to share the Word of God and something of our heritage. Heritage is not just history. Heritage is something of value that's passed from generation to generation. And God is into heritage. The first, 14, 16 verses of the New Testament deal with nothing but heritage. And so begat, passed on from generation to generation. And I like what Pastor Rory said there, you know, that we need to pass it on to the next generation. My family's fought in almost every war. My granddad rode with the light horse. He broke horses for the light horse along with Banjo Patterson. His brother had three horses shot from underneath him to liberate the city that Jesus is coming back to. No, that's not London. That's Jerusalem. Second World War, my dad fought. The first defeat of the Japanese land forces was not by the Americans at all. It was by Aussies at a place called Milne Bay. My mum's brother won the military cross on Kokoda. My son went with the forces into Timor. My grandson's just come out of the army. My granddaughter's about to go into the Air Force. So it's part of my heritage as well. I was in the call-up for Vietnam, but I didn't have to go, and I'm glad about that. But anyway, you know, it's part of our heritage. Can I have an amen or what? Jan's dad's father was in the Air Force, but her grandfather flew for the German Luftwaffe. Hello? They maybe afford each other, but hey, is that right or not? But this gives us a basis to now maybe even live together. Can I have an amen or what? So what can we learn from our Anzac forefathers? We go into our schools a lot of the time to share on this. What can we possibly learn? The Bible talks about first the natural, then the spiritual. There's some things we can learn from the natural. Certainly something about courage. Can I have an amen or what? Courage is not the absence of fear. If you've never had fear, you're either a liar or you've had a lobotomy. Gut-wrenching fear. We lost our house in Cyclone Tracy. I'm sure we're going to die. I'm positive we're going to die. Jen's got more faith. We're sure we're going to survive. I'm sure we're going to die here. One of my neighbours was killed. You know, it's gut-wrenching. You know, is that right or not? Hello. But the Bible says God's not given us a spirit of fear. So fear is a spirit. Is that right? That gets off. Go to a funeral sometimes and feel a spirit of grief jump off. You don't even know the people, but it jumps on. Is that right or not? So fear is a spirit. The Bible says God's not given us a spirit. I love that. Let me read you a passage of Scripture from Deuteronomy here. And this is a passage of Scripture that the Anzac chaplain fighting Mackenzie read to the troops. I love this. Think about this just for a moment. Here's a stockman from Bundaberg in his mid-40s. Goes as a chaplain, ships out with the eight young guys. Most of them are 17, 18. He's in his mid-40s. Boys in frontline combat. He reads this passage of Scripture. Deuteronomy 20. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, don't be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. And so it shall be, listen to this, when you're on the verge of battle, the priest, the man of God, shall approach and he'll speak to the people. What's he going to say? 666 and the stormtroopers are coming to get you? I feel a lot. I don't mean to be rude, but I've been in services. I felt worse when I left than when I came. Dear God, I'd take a gun and shoot myself in the head. Anyway, thank you for your enthusiasm. What's he going to say to the people? He says, and he shall say to the people, "Hear, O Israel, today you're on the verge of battle with your enemies. Don't let your heart faint. Don't be afraid. Don't even tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you." Hey, our nation may not be under threat of invasion, but it is under threat right about now. Our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion. Can I have an amen? What can I learn? I can learn something about courage. Second World War, we're under threat of invasion by the Japanese. Hey, we're from Darwin. I know what it's like to feel threatened. We moved to Darwin in the late 60s. General Sukarno from Indonesia was rattling his sword, threatening to invade us in those days. In those days, our air defense was a Cessna with two shotguns on a good day. I know what it's like to feel threatened. Imagine what my dad was there when the bombing of Darwin. Darwin was bombed more than Pearl Harbor was ever bombed. And you imagine now they're facing an army that's never been defeated in land combat ever. They're coming down through across the Owen Stanley Ranges, the Kokoda track. We call it trail. It's really Americanism. But anyway, the track. And our young guys, most of them are in the Middle East. And so they take militia, chocos. They called them chocolate soldiers because they thought they'd melt in the sun. Many of them never even fired a shot in their lives. And they drop them on the Kokoda track and they're told, stay and fight to the death. How would you feel, 18, 19? You're facing 110 Australians facing 2,000 Japanese that have never been defeated in land combat. Can you imagine what it must have been like? Let me read you here something. These are some of the letters that these young men wrote back to their homes. It's not what I say, you say. It's what these young men actually said themselves. He says, let me put my glasses on for a minute. I thought, that's a bit big. That's a bit out of focus now, I know why. But anyway, I prayed a lot. I believe in prayer. I know my mum and dad are praying for me. That helps a lot. And of course, I got mates. When you got good mates, you don't leave them. It's called a brotherhood. We got a message from Port Moresby yesterday. We're going to have to stay here and fight to the death. Now, be honest. Hello? How would you feel? Man, I don't know how I'd feel about that. Stay and fight to the death. He says, that's horrifying. I thought, I'll never see my family again. I'll never see Australia again. But I'm prepared to stay and fight to the finish because that's my responsibility as the man of the family. 18 years old. The man of the family. You know, we live in a very narcissistic society. Oh, Phil, love's going to come now. We live in a very narcissistic society. Is that right or not? What's the predominant sign of the last days? What does Paul write? That the sick, that stormtroopers are coming? He says men will be lovers of themselves. Is that right? We live in a generation that's in love with their mirror. I include myself. If anybody else fell in love with us, we'd get jealous. Is that too deep? We live in a... I'm not being smart, I'm just observing. Hello. I read Time magazine, they said the average person today takes 48 minutes of selfies a week. That's 7 minutes a day of total narcissism. Don't you know what you look like yet? Remember when we used to take photos of other people? We even take photos of our food. But then your blockhead's in there. Anyway, thank you for your enthusiasm. These young men lay their lives on the line. Courage. It's going to take courage to live a Christian life in these last days. They're trying to intimidate us, to shut us down. It's time to stand up, speak up, refuse to shut up. Now, this is me. Pastor will correct the doctrine next week. But if they have any more lockdowns, I ain't doing it. Now, this is me. I'm not preaching sedition. I'm just saying me. You do whatever you got to do. Look, I don't care, but I'm not doing that anymore. My ancestors, my forefathers fought for our freedom and freedom of speech. I ain't doing that anymore. Can I have an amen or what? You know, it saddens me. Courage. The second word simply says mateship. You know, you could go to Ishirava today where those young, magnificent young men took on the Japanese army. And there's a monument. If you've been to Ishirava, you may have seen it. There's four words: courage, mateship, sacrifice, endurance. Mateship's an interesting word. It's a cliche today. It doesn't mean anything. It's hijacked by media, by politicians. These young men lay their lives on the line for each other. Jesus said, greater love is no man than he lay down his life for his friends. Not just inconvenience himself, lay down his life. Can I have an amen or what? I saw Bishop T.D. Jakes, the great bishop, you know, front cover of Time magazine, interviewed by Brian Houston. And Brian interviewed, he said, what would you like to be remembered for? Meetings of 50,000 people? And I thought, this would be interesting. He thought for a moment, he said, Brian, I'd like to be remembered as a loyal friend. In an age of relationship deficits, we don't even know what the word means anymore. They laid their lives down for each other. Man, I love the light horse. The code of the light horse was you never left your mates under any circumstance. Is that good or not? Hey, this awesome couple here came all the way from New Zealand for today. You know, our Kiwi mates and Zach. Is that right or not? But think about that. Man, I love that. You know, I love the humor of the light horse. I can imagine my granddad. They've just made the charge on Beersheba. They shot up, lost half their hats and their uniforms. They're limping down to Gaza where Samson carried the city gates. And the pompous British MP steps up and says, no shorts allowed on the beach. They said, righto, drop their shorts, kept walking. I love that. Up your nose. See, I love that ocker spirit. One guy said, I saw my best friend shot off his horse. He said, against direct orders, I could be court-martialed. He said, I spun my horse around, I'm galloping back, bullets whizzling over my head, dust, smoke, bombs. I see somebody on the ground, I grabbed him by the belt and swung him up and galloped out. And when the dust settled, he said, I realized I picked up a Turk by mistake. I hit him on the head and went back to find my mate again. You have a friend like that. If you don't have a mate like that, you need to be a mate like that. Are you allowed to have an opinion? Yes. I remember when you used to be able to have an opinion. Hello. But something is seriously wrong.
seriously, seriously wrong, even in our churches. We don't have mateship like that. Do you have a friend that would drop at a... my ex-associate pastor from down, I know that if I was desperate and I rang him, he'd jump on a plane and fly here. And I'd do the same for him. Do you have a friend like that? My wife doesn't like it. I'm not looking at her, but I'm going to say it anyway. When it's your turn to minister, do it your way. One of her best friends was dying of cancer. And so she went to visit her in hospital. And she rang me and she said, my friend's dying of cancer. Where's the family? There was one other girl, that's all. No one should have to die alone. Can I have an amen? Amen. See, you know, I don't mean to be smart, but, you know, we want to go off on evangelism, and that's wonderful, but we don't even know our next door neighbors. We build a house and then build a wall up. We don't even know our next door neighbors. So Jan rings me and she said, I asked the doctor, can I stay here? Can you wheel another bed into the ward, or do I eat here, but got to pay? Okay. But if my friend dies, I don't want to die on my own. Do you have a friend like that? Rings me at early in the morning. She's crying. She said, my best friend's just gone to heaven. I'm sitting on the bed and we're just singing songs to the Lord. She said, it shouldn't be like that. No one should have to die alone. Can I have an amen? We live lonely lives. Our suicide rate is off the Richter scale. My son was a detective, just moved here recently from Darwin. He said, we don't even advertise or don't even put it in the newspapers anymore, suicides. It's off the Richter scale. Every second day, suicide. Our domestic violence is something that's absolutely disgusting. Can I have an amen? Amen. You know, it comes back, I believe, something. What can I learn from my Anzac forefathers? Guts, courage. I can learn something about true mateship. Laying my life down. Is that right? For my friends, for my family. That's what it's all about. You know, and I don't mean to be smart, but I think maybe we've done a disservice to some of our young people. All you need is the anointing. Well, praise God for the anointing, but you better have something more than the anointing, Jack. You better have a thing called character for a start. The anointing works for other people. It doesn't work for you. It works for others. Is that right? I mean, think about this. If all we need is anointing, think about people, you know. Man, I love studying. Think about this. Samson. Born with a spiritual silver spoon in his mouth. He's called of God, anointed of God. Is that right? His destiny is to set the nation of Israel free. He fulfills none of it. At the end of his life, he commits suicide serving his enemies. Start at the top, finish at the bottom. Is he anointed? It says he is. By contrast, Joseph starts off at the bottom and finishes at the top. He's sold into slavery by his own family. If anybody needed had a chip on his shoulder, surely it would be Joseph. Us Aussies are well balanced. We've got chips on both shoulders. He starts off at the bottom. He finishes in the most powerful position, in the most powerful nation. Well, are they anointing? The Bible says, what's the difference the way they're brought up? Samson sees the prostitute and he says to his dad, get her for me. That should have buffed a buff head in the head then. By contrast, Joseph is in Potiphar's house. He's married to one of the most beautiful ladies in the land, and she hits on him every day. Not once, every day. Says, come and have sex with every day. The boy's 17. He's got enough testosterone to jump start a dead buffalo. Is that too deep? He says, but it's not going to happen. It's not happening. Is that right or not? Train up a child in the way he should go. What can I learn from my Anzac forefathers? Guts, courage. And sometimes, you know, listen to me, courage is not the absence of fear. It's suck it up, tough it out, and do it even if you've got to do it scared. That's what true courage is. Just do it anyway. You know, mateship, I love that. Mateship, laying our lives down for our friends. Man, the coat of the light horse was, as I say, mateship, genuine mateship. Think about that. Is that right? Motto of the light horse, David and Jonathan. Think about it. I mean, it's all through scripture. Paul writes and he says, everyone has turned against me. Everyone. He says, everybody. He says, but Onesiphorus, and what's the other guy's name? Can't think of the, anyway, why they can't have names like Fred and Jack, I don't know, but Onesiphorus and his mate. Onesiphorus, his name is in the Bible. Think about it. Your name might be in the Lamb's Book of Life. It ain't in the Bible. It's there for eternity. So you get to heaven, and Onesiphorus. How come your name's in the Bible? Biggest church, never had a church. You know, television, no.
Well, how come your name is in the Bible for eternity? Because I was a loyal friend to Paul. I may have made the difference of whether he stayed in the ministry or not. Paul writes, hold such men in high esteem. They visited me even when I was in prison. Read it. Laying our lives down. You know, wouldn't it be awesome if we really could get that true mateship in the church? Laying our lives down, not just inconveniencing. I mean, David and Jonathan, think about the story. Jonathan's the heir to the throne. Think about this. Growing up in the palace, David stinks a sheep dip. But they become lifelong friends. Covenant. Is that right or not? Jonathan even takes David's side against his father Saul. Jonathan's killed in combat. And David becomes king. He says, is there anyone left at the household of Saul that I might show kindness for my friend Jonathan's sake? Read it. Now, if anybody is alive, it's a threat to his throne. He says, here we go again, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth lives out in Lodibar. Why can't you just be Fred and Jack? But anyway, Mephibosheth, he says, bring him in. Mephibosheth doesn't like David because he's a cripple and he blames David. And David looks at him, he says, everything you've lost, I'll restore. You'll put your feet under my table, which means I'll adopt you as a son. He says, not because of who you are, but because of my love for your father. So true mateship even goes beyond the grave. That's why we had godfather and godmother, because that right, if they lose, then they entrust their kids to you. Greater love is no man than this, and he lay down his life for his friends. We got a little short. This is a visual generation. You got when they go to schools. Now, I'm not being rude, but you know, I love this generation, man. I think they're awesome. That Anzac spirit's on them, but they just need a little bit of help sometimes. You go in some of the places, their attention span's about the same as a goldfish. So you got to have something to catch their attention. Can you run that DVD for me? The black and white one, thanks. Japanese prisoner of war camp. Had no animosity towards the Japanese. It was amazing to me. But Weary Dunlop, if you read anything, he was in a prisoner of war camp with the Japanese. Horrific. But he was writing and he said, you know, it was almost a privilege to watch an Australian die. He said, I'd walk down the hospital and here's an American dying of beriberi, but he's dying on his own. And here's an Englishman or a Dutchman, they're dying, but they're dying on their own. He said, but here's an Aussie. He's got four of his mates washing him down, saying, come on, Cobber, you can't die. You still owe me £5. And this old bloke's crying on the ABC. He's crying. He said, I'm alive today because my friends wouldn't let me die. He said, I said to him, I'm in pain. Leave me alone. They said, we came in together and we go out together. Sneak under the wire, steal a chook or an egg or something like that. What can we learn from our own Anzac forefathers? We can learn something about real courage. Listen to me, it's going to take courage to be married, stay married. My mum and dad were married to each other for 76 years. The only Christians the last 10 years of their life. I remember asking my dad, how do you stay married to the same person for 76 years? Hello? Hello, is that right? We've never, ever talked about, you know, having an argument, murder lots of times. But no, I'm just kidding. How do you stay married? My dad said, he looked at me and he just said, let's just learn to be less selfish. Just as simple as that. Would halve the divorce rate. Just one thing like that, laying your life down. Not just inconveniencing yourself, but laying your life down. Man, Jen's always been really, really good, but I was a mongrel before I got saved. I tell you, it had to be God. Jen's shaking her head, yes. I owned a gun shop, fishing tackle shop in Darwin. I didn't want to be in ministry. I want to be Crocodile Dundee. Just leave me alone. I love guns. Hello, have you hugged your tree today? I feel a love coming from the tree huggers. Not, my dad was a professional kangaroo shooter. We blew Skippy away. I feel a love coming right about now. But, you know, it's a little bit foreign sometimes when you come into the church. Is that right or not? I remember... Jen's getting... I remember We joined the church in Darwin, I'll never forget. I'd hardly ever been in a church. Jen was Catholic. Everybody was a Catholic once. But anyway, and I'm in shock. I'm in shock. What do you do? I'm a missionary, what do you do? I'm a school teacher. He said, what do you do? I said, I sell guns. They looked at me like I had 666 tatted on my bum or something. You do what? How could you possibly? Man, Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Just be what you are. Don't try to be something there. What I love about these Aussies, the Ockers, they're just real people. I interviewed one old bloke in Darwin. He used to come in my gun shop. Can't read or write, but he could count. I'm sure he could count. He owned a cattle station probably as big as Belgium, but can't read or write. His wife signs the checks. I said, can I take you for a cup of coffee? He said, I drink tea. Okay, let's go for tea. Ex-light horse. And I said, I really admire you. How do you do business? He said, I was raised to do business on a handshake. Now, he's not even a Christian. He says, my word is my bond. Doesn't Scripture say, let your yes mean yes, your no mean no? A righteous man swears to his own hurt. Hello? Anyway, so he said, I've shaken hands on deals. And he says, it's cost me a lot of money because I've never watched on that. He said, today you're going to have a contract with a signature on it. They'll just get a lawyer to get him out of it. That's how far we've slipped. Lost our way as a nation. Most of the values we are sadly passing by the way. Courage, mateship, sacrifice. You know, I did that book on fighting Mackenzie. Just awesome, man. Just an awesome stockman from Bundaberg. I mean, a real bloke. And they're in the charge at Lone Pine. Two waves have gone over, shot down. Hundreds have been shot. Young men. And they're in the trenches. I got his diaries from the Canberra War Memorial. And they're about to go over the top, and the commanding officer walks up and says, he says, Chaplain, you're not even supposed to be in these front lines. Get out. Mackenzie, 6'3", stands up, and he says, sir, I'm not a rebellious person, but sometimes you've got to answer to a higher authority, and you're not it. See, I'd follow a man like that. He said, you and I both know these young men are going to die. He said, now what sort of a man would I be? What sort of a friend if I just let them? Most of these boys never been off a farm in their life. He turns and he says, I've eaten with you. I've prayed with you. I'm not afraid to die with you. When the whistle blows, you go over, I'll be right alongside of you. What would that mean to a 17-year-old kid? They go over, 700 shot down. Mackenzie, so badly wounded, thinks he would die. Survives to win the military cross. Should have been Victoria Cross. Summoned back to Buckingham Palace by King George himself. And King George sees him and brushes through and he says, Chaplain, your fame precedes you. You did far more for these young men than these generals, these officers. You were a friend to these young men. Sacrifice, courage, mateship, sacrifice. All of those are biblical principles. Jesus portrayed every one of those things. It would take courage to go to the cross. Why do you think he said, if it's possible, take this cup from me? Is that right? Mateship, laying his life down, not for you and for me. Sacrifice. I love all that. So what can we learn? Well, first of all, they weren't those old blokes, you see. Most of them were 16, some as young as 15, if they could ride. Man, before I close, I love this because I'm from the Northern Territory. In the First World War, Aboriginals were not allowed in the armed forces to start with. But I'm from Darwin. The best riders, the best shots were the Aboriginal boys. I knew they were got in somewhere. And so I did this extensive study, and I found 400 Aboriginals that were part of the light horse. Can I have an amen? And I got a few photos here, except I don't know what to do with the book. What did I do with the book, Jen? Oh, here it is here. Kathy Freeman's, the Olympic runner's grandfather was in the light horse. See, a lot of people don't know this, but I knew being the best riders, the best shots, they would have got in there somewhere. And so you get a chance to minister to some of the Aboriginal boys. You know, I remember going out to Arnhem Land, got a skin name, adopted into the tribe. But I'm out there, Owen Pelly it was, I'll never forget. And I'm doing this meeting, there's a couple of young Aboriginal young men in the front row, chips on their shoulders. What do you want, Whitey? And I said, anybody ever heard of the Light Horse? Yeah, a little bit. Liberation of Jerusalem? Yeah, a little bit. Charge of Bereshit? A little bit. I said, well, of the 45,000 light horse, 400 were Aboriginals. And of the 400, two came from this very town. I know more of your heritage than you do yourself. Well, they're all over me like a measles rash. Hey, bro, We need things that will unite us. We don't need anything more that's going to divide us. That stupid voice thing was nothing more than simply to divide us as people. Can I have an amen or what? Doesn't matter what color you are in our own family. Man, Jen's German background, Italians. We've got Germans, Italians, Filipino, English, Aboriginals. I'm the only Aussie in the whole bunch. Sixth generation. But I say it doesn't matter where you're born. If this is your home, this is your heritage. Can I have an amen? We need things that will unite us, people, not divide us. Anzac Day, you see them out there, doesn't matter whether, is that right? Jewish, Caucasian, Aboriginal, arm around one another, playing two up. Isn't that what we need? Courage, mateship, sacrifice, endurance. Oh, man, I love that. It's like sick them to a dog. I love it. You go into the schools and talk about it. You know, I'm not, buy a book. Can I encourage you? I'm not just trying to sell books. If you don't have the money, I'll give you a book. Jen and I and our partners have put between 3,500 and 4,000 books into the schools ourselves. And I've only ever been refused once by this supposed librarian. She said she wasn't a communist. I think she was slightly left to Mao Zedong. And said, I'm not putting that stuff. I said, listen to me, lady. This is a free country. All I'm asking you to do is put it in the library and let the kids decide whether they read it or not. Not you. So she said, all right, I'll do that. I didn't say we'd pray about them reading it. But we get letters all the time. I even have people say, I've lived in this country 20 years, never wanted to be an Aussie, but I'm now going to become an Australian. It's part of our heritage. Can I have an amen? We don't have a lot. I love that. What can we learn? I've got to close off. What can we learn from our Anzac forefathers? Courage. In a nation that virtually knows nothing much about courage anymore. Mateship, which is sadly, sadly, sadly neglected now. Sacrifice, endurance. Can I have an amen? I want you to stand up with me. We put this together. Would you believe, I mean, has God got a sense of humor? I got an invitation to speak at federal parliament. John Howard. Hello, my dad was a kangaroo shooter. I'm speaking in federal parliament. They said, man, everybody's got more degrees than a thermometer. You know, chaplains, armed force, they said, are you a doctor? I'm not even a nurse. But anyway, I am now. But we put this together. You know, I just believe there's something on it for the next generation. Look at these awesome young men and women. Is that right? The next generation, people. You know, we need to stop putting them down, stop putting them. That same anointing, that same blood flows in their veins. All they need is some direction, I believe. Just a little bit of help and direction. Man, I tell you, and you can see it. Sometimes I go to churches. I've got to say this. It must be God. I'm carrying my books in. Now, you got a guy that helped me, but I can be carrying boxes of books in. Young people walk past, fall over the box. They wouldn't even notice it. But somebody will walk up at a church and say, how can I help you? And I said, you've been in the armed forces. I was in the military. I was in the SAS. They say, just tell me what you want and forget it. It'll be done. We need conscription back in our nation. We need our young men and women to learn something. Get up in the morning. Make your bed. Oh, anyway, thank you. I'm not going there. But I saw this American general. And he's on, he's talking, he says, so you want to be successful? Yes. He says, well, the first thing in the morning, make your bed. Decides the rest of the day. Amen? I want to thank you, Pastor Rory, just for the privilege of just coming and sharing. Man, we live in an awesome nation. This is the best country on the face of the planet. I don't care. What, man, this is God's country. Sorry, Kiwis, second best. Man, we passed it in California. I would have crawled on broken glass to come home again. And we're free to travel again. We can travel. Breakfast in Brisbane. Lunch in Sydney. Your luggage in Afghanistan. Okay, play that video for me, please. If that doesn't fire you up, your wood is wet. You know, a couple of years ago, I saw on 60 Minutes, I saw two ex-Aussie diggers. They were sappers in Vietnam. One was a jet black Aboriginal, Bill Coolborough from Palm Island. The other's an ochre Aussie, Snowy Wilson. And they were lifelong friends, been friends all their lives. And they're being interviewed on 60 Minutes because Bill Coolbara needed a kidney transplant, had diabetes. And so Snowy Wilson found out and he rang him up and said, "You're my mate, take anybody else's kidney, you get a bunch of fives up the hooter." I like that. They're lying side by side, 60 minutes side by side, and they're in the operating theatre. The surgeon, tears in his eyes, takes his mask off and he said, "You know what?" He says, "You blokes have got something special." He said, "With all of my money, with all of my contacts, I don't have a friend that at the drop of the hat would give me a kidney." He said, "You guys got something special." He said, "We're mates. That's what mates do." So the surgeon says, "Well, what about if the surgery doesn't take the kidney?" He says, "Not the sharpest knife in the drawer." He says, "I've only got one other one. I don't love him enough to give him that one too." I love that. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? Is there anyone here this morning that you don't know Jesus as your Lord? I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm asking you to pass from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Many of these young men were born again Christians. My Light Horse First World War, every trooper was issued a leather-bound New Testament. I have my grandfather's. You know, there's something there, I believe, that we have lost as a nation as well. So is there anyone? Just pop your hand up. I won't embarrass you. I won't drag you down the front. I'll pray for you right where you're standing. If that's you, just slip your hand up and say, "Please, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need that. My family needs that." Almost every service we're doing, we're seeing men get born again. I love that. Blokes, hard blokes, military blokes, because they see what's happening in the world. Anyone, one last time, pop your hand up and say, "Please, Pastor, pray for me, pray for me." Anyone at all? Thank you, Jesus. Well, look at me. Everybody look at me and say this out of your heart. Say, "I believe." Now convince me. Say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me. And I receive him now as my Lord, as my Savior. And I believe, according to your word, that I pass from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, from death to life. Thank you, Jesus. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. And from now on, you're my best friend." Amen.